Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15, we look at what Jesus teaches about prayer. The scene is on a mountainside, probably north of the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus is teaching a large crowd. This is practical teaching for Christians. Once again, Jesus attacks the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jewish faith, Judaism. He calls them hypocrites, who control the Jewish religion by insisting on keeping rules. Jesus says, "Don't be like them, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by men. They want to be seen dressed in their fine robes. They are showing off. What do they get from that? People see them. That is their reward. They achieve what they are looking for." In Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like all other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." The Pharisee was a hypocrite, claiming himself to be righteous, presenting himself proudly before God. The tax collector came before God, humbly seeking God's forgiveness and mercy. God heard the prayer of the tax collector. He was justified before God. Our attitude in prayer is to be humble before God. Jesus' teaching in this passage falls under three headings: where, why, when, and how. Where. Jesus instructs us to pray in private. Jesus calls God Father. Our relationship with God is a personal relationship, one-to-one, removed from all distractions. We would call it our quiet time and or devotions. This will vary according to our lifestyle and personal preference. Jesus suggests a quiet place, maybe your bedroom or study, a place where you will not have interruptions, no television, phone calls or texts. If you're a mother with preschoolers or in business, you may have a different schedule. But it is important to take time out to relate to our Heavenly Father. Why? Follows on from this. God created us for fellowship with him. In Genesis we read, "Adam and Eve talked with God as they walked in the garden at the cool of the day." Maybe for you, the place for your quiet time is in a garden, or while you're exercising outdoors. Our human relationships require communication. If we don't meet our friends or contact them by phone, letter, email, or maybe Facebook, we lose our friends. In prayer, God invites us to communicate with him. We must make this our priority. Remember Daniel in the Old Testament? He prayed as a traditional Jew at 9 a.m, 12 midday and 3 p.m, even when his life was threatened for doing so. When you pray is repeated three times in this passage. However, unlike Jewish practice of the day, there are no specific times or rules about set times of prayer. Rather, there is the expectation that the practice of prayer is essential to Christian discipleship. We have freedom to choose when we communicate with God. For me, I prefer the morning, as I am a fowl, an early riser. You may be an owl and prefer the evening. But I find if I try to read my Bible and pray in bed, I fall asleep. We need to make a God space in our daily schedule. There are many references in the Gospels of Jesus to praying. At the beginning of his ministry, after healing Simon's mother-in-law, when the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all whom had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. It had been a very busy day, but we read in Luke chapter 4, verse 42, next morning, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The local people came looking for him, begging him to stay. However, Jesus knew through praying to his Father what was God's will for him. He said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that was why I was sent." In Luke 5, verse 16, we read, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." On another occasion, before Jesus chose his disciples, in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus went out into the hills to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them. There are many other references to Jesus praying. He was a man of prayer. There is a challenge there for us. Jesus, the Son of God, who was without sin, needed to relate to his Father in prayer. We know we are not perfect. We are sinful human beings. How much more do we need prayer? This brings us to the final question. How do we pray? Luke tells us the disciples observing Jesus at prayer asked him to teach them how to pray. Jesus tells us to pray in private and do not keep babbling on like the pagans. Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer, saying, "This is how you should pray." Jesus tells us to address God as our Father in heaven. He called God Father and instructs us to do the same, indicating a personal relationship. We are family. He is our Heavenly Father. We are His children. Our attitude should firstly be one of worship and reverence. Hallowed be your name. There is a similarity between the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments acknowledge God is holy, to be revered in our relationship to Him. The remaining six commandments relate to our everyday needs and relationships to others. The Lord's Prayer from verse 11 focuses on our needs and conduct. Jesus tells us to bring our daily needs to God. Give us our daily bread means we ask for what we need daily. We ask for what we need, that is, what is essential. Not for our wants, but our needs. Our next need is forgiveness from God and others. God forgives us our sin, and we must be prepared to forgive others. The third need is to ask for God's protection against the temptation from the evil one. Some versions conclude with, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever." This is a positive conclusion, which states, God is supreme and controls over all. An in-depth analysis of prayer and the Lord's Prayer would take many more sermons. As you read through the Gospels, Jesus has much more teaching on prayer, as it was essential to his relationship with his Father and guided his ministry. May that be true for us as well. I conclude with a reading of Matthew 6, verses 5 to 15, from the Message, a modern paraphrase of these verses. It is titled, Pray with Simplicity. And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're a blazing beauty. Yes, yes, yes. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we are amazed that you want to communicate with us, your wayward children. Help us, Lord, we pray. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, that we may draw closer to you. Amen.